Today's reading is taken firstly from the book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And then the second reading is the first epistle of Paul to the church in Corinth, chapter 12, beginning at verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues.
When I planned this series, I thought, all right, we'll do this. We'll talk about your gifting, and we'll do something about, you know, everything. Everyone's got something to offer, and I thought I was going to speak about your spiritual gifts as Christians and using them in the church. But God has shown me something else. Sorry, that's just annoying me there. I see your faces now. Something else from these passages which I'd like to share with you. And it's this. I am unique. I am. None of you are like me. Now, some of you I know are breathing a sigh of relief, and some of you are bitterly disappointed. I know. I mean, who wouldn't want to be like me? And you're all going, me. I am unique. Because God made each one of us unique. You know, you are unique. Look at the person next to you. You're not like them. You're not like the person behind you. You're not like the person in front of you. You may be twins, and you're still not exactly alike. You're unique. You're not like me. When we say the Christian ambition is to be like Jesus, we do not mean that we want to be like him in every way. Beard, sandals, woodworking, questionable parentage, son of God. You know, these are the kind of things, you know, when we say we want to be like Jesus, we're not talking about the whole package of being a clone. We're talking about being like him in his relationship with God. Wouldn't you like a relationship like that? Where you can talk to God and God can talk to you. And out of that relationship, you can do all sorts of stuff. in the world, bringing healing, bringing forgiveness, bringing hope. Isn't that what you want to do in the world? Be like Jesus in that. In the relationship you have with God. Mind you, it might cost you. It might cost you in terms of obedience. It might cost you in terms of forgiving people that don't want you to be like Jesus. But wouldn't you like that kind of relationship with God? Hey, Christians, you've already got it. The Spirit of God is given to you so that you can have that relationship. Be like Jesus in him, in that. Be like Jesus in his character. When you say yes, you mean yes. When you say no, you mean no. When you set your face to go to Jerusalem or do whatever God has tasked you to do, you do it with utter resolve. Character, honesty, integrity. Be like Jesus in that. Be like Jesus in his attitudes and in his values. That would be good. But we don't want to become him. That's his job. God has made you with a different DNA. Knit together, you together, uniquely in his womb. You've now got experiences on top of that. And then, if you're a Christian, God's Holy Spirit has come in and you know that you are forgiven and restored to God. You know you have a relationship with God somehow. You don't know how it works. But you know, you have some knowledge in your head that changes your attitude to yourself. Well, if God thinks I'm a forgiven person, maybe I ought to think of myself as a forgiven person and not carry around all that guilt. Let's be like Jesus in those things. But you are unique. And you have a unique contribution to make. Maybe several unique contributions to make, depending on your character, depending on your gifting, depending on your season, depending on your opportunities and your willingness to serve. All of these things add into the mix. Sometimes it's depending on your personality, what you can give to others. But you have a unique contribution to make. Because that's the way God has made you. Each one of us has that unique contribution to make. And I know what you're thinking. It's all right for him. He can stand up the front and talk to people. I couldn't do that. Not asking you to do what I do. Asking you to do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. The Holy Spirit has enabled you to do. And yes, it will take faith. Because you will get uncomfortable when God prompts you. Because God made you to work in faith. Faith is sometimes not being totally sure. It's one step beyond reason that calls you to step up and then step out. Even when you're using your gifts from God. And this is what I was getting from this passage. The teacher asks not just, is it true or is it correct or did I get it out of the Bible, therefore it must be okay. The person with the gift of teaching asks the question, is this the right thing to bring to these people at this time? It's a worry for me. Because if I start teaching advanced calculus to those that haven't quite got, you know, 2 plus 2 is 4, or 2 plus 2 is 13, work that one out, then you're all working it now. Shouldn't have done that, should I? Base 3. You don't just bring a lesson because it's a lesson and you've planned it out. You bring it because it's the right lesson at the right time for the right people. And the same with every one of the gifts of God. And in the past, I know we've emphasized, you know your spiritual gifts and use them. But no one's actually talked about the discernment that's needed to use those gifts. Because if you don't use the discernment, you end up being really arrogant. I am a teacher from God. Listen. I am a prophet from God. I have got the gift of prophecy. Therefore, whatever I say is right. Discernment is really important to get the message of God across. And that's why faith is difficult. Is this what God wants me to teach at this time? Is this the way he wants me to deliver it? Is this the right thing for these people? The prophet asks similar questions. Is this message for these people? Or if it is it for all of them or just some of them? And if so, is it the right time to deliver it? The evangelist asks similar questions, but does so that the person with the gift... The evangelist asks similar questions. But so does the person with the gift of hospitality. It's not, I will feed all 5,000. It's, who will I feed this week? Who shall I bring to the table and bless with this gift? That God encounters might happen. You see, you need the discernment that comes from that relationship with God. Rather than just say, I have this gift. All right, I'll bring someone for lunch this week. Who can I do? Or have your systematic little system that you have that says, well, I had him last week. I'll have her next week. You can have a program like that. But listening to the Spirit of God saying, this person needs feeding this week because they've got a story that you need to pray for. Because there's some fellowship that they're feeling out of. And they need to be brought back in. Discernment with your gifts is the most critical part of being a Christian. Not the gift themselves, I think. And that's what I've been looking at through these passages. Your gifting is one thing, but your leading and discernment are vital. The difference between true and false teachers, true and false prophets, is not always the message, but the timing of the message. How many times were people saying peace to Jerusalem in the Old Testament when God had decided no more peace? It was a great message 200 years beforehand. It was a great message 200 years afterwards. But it was the wrong message when God had decided it was time for exile. And Jeremiah and a couple of the other prophets were lone voices while everyone was preaching peace. Discernment is more important than gifting if it's going to be used by God. Teaching tolerance when the church should be standing up against injustice and lies. There is time to teach intolerance. Teach tolerance. But there is a time to stand up and say no more. In 1 Corinthians 12, we find the Corinthians getting an answer to a question that they sent Paul about spiritual things. And if you read 1 Corinthians 12, the word gifts actually doesn't appear in the Greek. You find that in the Authorized Version. It says, now concerning spiritual things, spirituality, they're not asking him about gifts. They know the gifts. They've been using them. 1 Corinthians makes it blatantly clear that people are using their gifts. And they're writing to Paul saying, hey, Paul, what about our spiritual things? The way we do stuff. As Christians. And Paul writes to them about that. He said, some of you have got gifts, I know that. But you need to use them with faith. In faith. According to faith. They weren't just asking about spiritual gifts, but the whole art of spirituality. When they saw being gifts being used, that wasn't the problem. What they didn't see is the grace and the peace and the actions that should be flowing from those gifts being used. The word gift is actually missing from verse 1 and verse 4. The word is charismaton, graces, favors. And if you understand it in those terms, charismaton, graces to you. This is what God is offering you and me who are Christians, who have subjected ourselves and said, I am a follower of Christ. I receive him into my life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit in grace and asks you to be gracious in using his gifts. That's the big thing in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian Christians weren't known to be gracious. They had all sorts of infighting and taking each other to court and having problems. And this is what Paul is teaching them. Grace. So that what comes out of your mouth is not judgment, but a leading towards the throne of Christ. A subjecting. I think that's why many Christians struggle when they ask, what's my gift? Or what's my gifting? Because they're thinking of it in terms of Barbie dolls and toys and gadgets. What's God given you? What's he given you so you can build up the church? Oh, I've got a new toy. No. He endues you with grace so that you can build up. And he enables you in particular ways. That is the prophecy and the teaching and the evangelism and the gift of tongues and interpretation and so on. Those are just the tools, if you like, to bring grace in. And gift assessment courses sometimes leave us a bit confused. Don't get me wrong. It's good to find out what your spiritual gifts are and to do some kind of spiritual gift assessment to know them. But that's not the end of the story. Once you know them and start exercising them, then the walk of faith picks up. And you start asking the question, is it my turn? Do I need to step up here? Do I need to speak this thing out? Do I need to do this bit of hospitality? Or is that someone else's job? And being led by the Holy Spirit in those matters raises the spirituality of the church. Because we are less arrogant and more dependent on a God who speaks to us and pats us on the back very, very gently, so gently that you may miss it, and says, you're doing okay. Be gracious. In that chapter, there is more about the unity of God when it comes to gifting than there is about the gifts. Workings and services and how it works in real life. It's all there, but it talks about one God, one Spirit, one way of doing things because it's God's. See, what we're really trying to find out is, when you're using these gifts, you end up... let me get back to my notes. They weren't just asking about spiritual gifts. I got that bit. Yes, okay. If you couple that with Romans, you end up with something else. These are, where are we to use these charismata, these graces, these favors, according to our faith? And then it all makes sense. Get your gifts, know your gifts, use your gifts, but do it with grace. There is no room for arrogance in using any grace from God. So rather than talk about the gifts of God that you have, that can make us arrogant, talk about the graces that God has given you. The grace to be kind under provocation. That's a real grace, isn't it? The grace to lead gently and humbly and not just push people in the right direction. The grace to serve and help others. These are the graces of God. And every usage of our gifts will involve some measure of faith, because we're saying to God, when, where, how, who, to him. And each Christian is anointed by the Holy Spirit with grace to serve for the common good, for the kingdom of God, and for the kingdom of God to grow in the world. Because God has got an agenda. There you go. And it's God's agenda that matters. And even that is an act of faith. It's a little leap after reason. It's saying, I trust what he is doing, how he is doing it, and why he's doing it. So I'm going to join in. It's also saying, I want to be used by God to enable his agenda for me, for my family, for my neighbors, for my friends, for my community, for my country, for my world, for his world. Let that grace flow through me. And God's agenda works by grace through humility. That's what it says in Romans 12. I like what Rick Warren says about humility. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Does it matter to me? I've seen some good depictions of humility, by the way. Here's one. I think this is one. Here's a picture of humility. Someone helping someone up. I don't like it. Do you know why I don't like it? Because it implies you're on top and you're helping someone else to get to you. That's not humility. That's helping someone. That's being kind to someone. I think humility is better depicted like this. Someone comes up the hill and is struggling. So someone comes up behind them and gives them a push. There we go. That's humility. It's getting behind someone, not in front of them. Not just pulling them to where you are, but pushing them beyond. Just like you do when your children are growing up. You don't want them just to be as good as you, do you? You want them to be able to fly, to do things that were impossible for you, to be even greater. That's the true heart of a parent, to set them free from your limits. Well, that's humility. To say, you're worth it. You can go before me. You can raise to higher than I can. And I will not be jealous. I will just applaud the God who has enabled you and gifted you and given you the opportunities. Because in the end, it's not me that matters, it's him. And there is the humility that we're asked to show. God's agenda works through humility. If we want to be used by God, then that is what he is looking for us to do with the people around us. Christians are called to be the living sacrifices that show that a life lived by faith is not a wasted life, it's not an inconsequential life, it's not an insignificant life. People will say it is, because they measure life in terms of wealth, in terms of what you get, in terms of what kind of relationships you have, and whether you are successful. And God judges our success as human beings in terms of how we have developed our faith and what that faith is in. And we recognize that we cannot do it on our own. So we invite Christ in, the first step of faith. And then we find we need to hold his hand all the way through. and become the people that God wants us to be. Because God's measuring stick when it comes to us is a life measured by faith. Not wealth, not influence, not power, not happiness. Nor is it measured by the number of children or grandchildren that you have, or the number of friends you have on Facebook, or how many people turn up at your funeral. The question is, today, how does he want me to use what he has given me? Today. In words, in silence, in work, in bringing grace and truth to other people. Everyone does have something to offer. Each of us is responsible for what God wants us to contribute and how much and when. And that requires you and me to have that living faith that asks God. A faith that requires listening. Your contribution matters. It's not all in the past. I'm looking at some older people now and I'm saying, look, just because you've been there and done it and got the t-shirt does not mean that God has finished with you. There is more to do. And he may be calling you to give a second wind. I don't know. I haven't got that little voice in my head telling me what God wants you to do. I have enough trouble listening to that voice telling me what I want to do, what I need to do. But today is the day of faith, not yesterday, not 10 years ago, today. To pour out that grace, say, all right, God, what do you want me to do today? In terms of parenting, in terms of contributing at church, in terms of work. Not the same old, same old. Your contribution matters. Oh, hold on a minute. But God is cheering on your God-inspired contribution. Not just any contribution. And for that, you need to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't you? Well, let's do some listening, shall we? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us so much in this world, whether it's wealth or family or comfort, but we bring it all before you and lay it before you. And ask that critical question, what do you want us to do today? That we might receive that little pat on the back when we lay down tonight. From the Holy Spirit saying, you did well, child of God. Speak to us, we pray. In whatever way you wish. Let us know your will, that we might walk in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.